Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvah Samech Ches. We're in Samech Zayin Amud Beis. We are about halfway down in the Amud. We are at the second wide line. The lines get wide and they get wider. So at that point in time, we're starting with the words Tanur Rabbanan. It's the second very wide line. A little bit more than halfway down in the Amud. Gemara here in the sixth parak, short parak of the, here in the Masechta. So we're discussing Tzedakah. So why are we discussing Tzedakah? Because we're marrying off girls in Rachmanis. The Mishnah describes in yesterday's daf, we're marrying off Yesoma. So marrying off of Yesoma, so obviously she doesn't have a father, and she's looking now for a nedunya. In other words, you have to kickstart the marriage with money. Normally, the father puts in the nedunya. Later today, we're going to be trying to give very clear terms in terms of how much a nedunya should be. Truth of the matter is, yesterday in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah tells us that stama a nedunya should be 50 zuz. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to be even clearer in terms of what is recommended amount that one should give in terms of percentages of an estate. That's coming up later. But meanwhile, if she's an orphan and we have to dip into the local tzedakah in order for her to receive an adunya, so we're going to do so. So once we got rolling on that discussion, so we're talking about tzedakah in general. So we're going to be starting off this morning with a lot of maisim, a lot of stories within the Gemara. Regarding tzedakah, we're going to get to the Mar Okva story, which is probably one of the more famous stories as it relates to tzedakah. That's coming up very shortly from now. That's on the bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Beis, right? Still in yesterday's daf. And then if we move to today's daf, we're going to be talking more, when we get to the Mishnah, we're going to be talking more regarding Nedunya and the, and exactly how much should be given regarding, as a relative to percentage of your estate. But that's coming up a little bit later on. Tanur Rabbanan, so we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Again, it's the second wide line on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara starts off, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Lo Ve'Ein Rotzeh Lehitparnes. So let's say the person doesn't have money and he just doesn't want to accept money. So he's being difficult about receiving money. And you know, in other words, you're the gabbai and you know that he needs money. So what do you do? So Rameir's strategy is basically like this. Look, we're not going to give you the money. In other words, it's not a handout. It's a loan. So we start off by packaging it as a loan. And obviously, you're going to pay us back. And then, with the full understanding that he's not going to pay you back, so at a later point in time, you'll just simply roll it over into a gift. In other words, I know we said it was a loan, but really it was a gift. So that Rameir's basically like, that's how you... In other words, it's covered abrius. In other words, there's obviously a human dignity aspect to it. You want to make sure that he does not feel like he's a charity case, even though in this particular case, he is a charity case. But in other words, in order to help him be able to easier receive the tzedakah, that's a strategy. For the chachamim, so it's flipped. In other words, first you give it as a matana, then it's halva. And the obvious question, which the Gemara immediately asks is, wait, one second. Isn't the whole problem is that he doesn't want to take it? L'shem matana halo shakil. So I don't understand. Meaning Rameir made a lot of sense. The Chachamim, as it's being presented to us right now, does not make a lot of sense. So Amar Rava, liftoach lo l'shem matana. So for Rava, the Chachamim are also in agreement to Rabbi Meir. And what the Chachamim are just simply saying is, how do you open up the conversation? You open up the conversation as this will be a gift. But in other words, but then afterwards you'll tell them it's a hava. Okay, it's just a question of how to structure how to present it at first. But ultimately, when all said and done, right, take it as a matana. No, I don't want to take a matana. Okay, fine, then take it as a loan, and then eventually you'll go back to saying it's a matana. Okay, the Brisa continues. So Yeshlov and Erotzel is Parnei. So let's say he has money, and what he doesn't want to do is he doesn't want to support himself from his own money. He goes to the tzedak in order to collect. So we have a term to describe that. That's called chutzpah. It's more than chutzpah, by the way. Chutzpah just begins to describe such an individual. So Nosan lo shumatana v'chosim v'nifram imenu. So what we're going to do is that we'll give him from tzedakah, but then what we're going to do is we're going to collect. In other words, he doesn't really have an entitlement in order to receive it. So we give and then we collect. Chosim v'nifram imenu sulo shakel. So the Amra Papa l'achar misa. So the Gemara says, at what point in time are we going to be collecting? In other words, he's not going to readily pay. In other words, look at this kind of personality that we're talking about. We're talking about a person who has money, but for whatever reason, in other words, because he's stingy, he's refusing to use his own money. So what are we doing now? We're going to give him money, and then we're going to collect afterwards. How are we collecting afterwards? The Gemara's answer is, yeah. In other words, basically, we'll have an outstanding balance against him, and the balance we'll collect after he dies. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Yesh Lo Vein Eretz Tzolis Parnes Ein Nizkakin Lo. Rabbi Shimon says unnecessary, meaning Rabbi Shimon says that if a person has money and for whatever reason he's refusing to use his own money, so Rabbi Shimon says you can ignore him. You don't even have to give him money. So Ein Lo Vein Eretz Tzolis Parnes. So the and finally the Braisa talks about somebody who doesn't have money and doesn't want to be receiving him from staka. So what you tell him is you bring a mashkan and that way you're going to take and that way he'll be more comfortable. In other words, so now that he presented him a mashkan, it'll make it easier for him to collect. Okay, so various strategies within the Braisa in terms of what to do with people who either don't have money and refuse to collect or do have money and insist on collecting. Okay, so both are difficult, right? One is just totally in the wrong, but they're both difficult personalities and how to deal with these difficult personalities. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara continues with the Braisa. So the Pasuk says...
I can't hear you.
No, okay. There we go. All right. Maybe that helps. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Ha'aveit. So the Gemara is darshaning now the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, Ha'aveit Ha'avitanu, in the double. So Zeshein Lovein Arotzalis Parnes. So what the Bryce is referring to is somebody who doesn't have money and is refusing to accept staka. And so once again, this price is repeating what we learned earlier, and that is that we'll say to him, look, take it as a loan, and then if it's not working as a loan, then just simply take it as a gift. Meaning he's not going to be able to pay you back. So good. So at first you present it like a loan. Don't worry, you're going to pay us back. And then what you'll do is that you'll tell him afterwards it's a gift. Okay, and the second lashon of ta'avitenu, that's in reference to a person who has money and does not want to support himself with his own money, insisting to go to tzedakah in order to get supported. So divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so what you'll do is you'll give him from tzedakah, but then you'll keep a tab, you keep a running tab, and then when he dies, so you'll go to the estate and you'll say, okay, look, he had no entitlement to take from tzedakah. He did take from tzedakah. So therefore, we're just simply collecting it back. And here in the Braisa, you're hearing the other side of this argument, which is the sheet of the Chachamim here in the Braisa, which is just ignore him. So then what's the second Tavitenu? Meaning, if you were Rabbi Yehuda, you understand the second Tavitenu. In other words, it tells me that I got to give to somebody, even though he has money. He's not entitled to take. Okay, good. We'll collect it from him at a later point in time. Okay, so that we understand. But according to the Chachamim, where basically you have somebody who's coming over to you asking for money, and you know he's not entitled, so what do? You ignore him? The second Tavitenu? Second Tavitenu, sometimes the Torah does that. Sometimes the Torah just repeats phrases, and Dibra Torah Kalashim B'nei Adam. It's stylistic. Okay. Marukva Hava Ani B'Shivavuse. Okay, here we are. We are now, Samach Zainam and Beis, and we are now moving our way towards the bottom of the Amud. We're about a third of the way from the bottom. And here we start with a story regarding Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva had a poor person in his town to have a ragel koyuma de shadile arba zuze. And so Mar Ukva, who was basically the gabbai staka, so he made sure to give a distribution of 4 zuz to this on a daily basis. And where would he place it? Bitsinur de dasha. He would put it by his door. So yom echad amar ezel echze. Man kave behu ativusa. Now, Mar Ukva made sure that he'd be giving the money anonymously, meaning he would be dropping the money at the front door on a daily basis, and the recipient did not know that it was Mar Ukva. Okay, so fine. And right, it's at this point in time, it's always worthwhile to go over. So the Rambam has 8 levels of tzedakah. In other words, there are basically 8 categories in terms of which is the better way to give tzedakah. The best way to give tzedakah, says the Rambam, is to make somebody self-sufficient and independent. That's the best way to give tzedakah. But then after that, there are levels after that. And basically, number 2 on the slot in terms of the best way to give tzedakah is where the giver doesn't know who the recipient is, and the recipient doesn't know who the giver is. Okay. Obviously, there are, that's sometimes just it's not viable at times. In other words, in this example over here, Mar Ukva knows who the recipient is, but still, it's a higher level of tzedakah where the recipient doesn't know who the giver is. Okay, it's still on a higher level. We're still in the upper echelons of giving tzedakah. So, in this particular story, the recipient would like to know who the giver is. He would like to know who's giving him money on a daily basis. So Nagale Lamar Ukva Lebei Medrasha. So, Morukva arrived late in the base medrash. So the Asya Devasar Bade, and so his wife accompanied him. Kevin de Chazua de Kamatsile Ladasha. And now the poor person sees that that Mar Ukva was approaching his door. Nafik Basrayu. Okay, so the poor person now gets the jump and bolts out the door and chasing down Mar Ukva, meaning he didn't get a good look at Mar Ukva. He didn't see it was Mar Ukva. And so he's running after Mar Ukva. Happens to be that Mar Ukva's wife is with him. Raut Mikamei. Okay, so the chase is on. So Mar Ukva now is running away from the Ani just simply to conceal his identity so that the Ani will not find out who's been giving him money on a daily basis. Okay, and the Ani obviously wants to know. Okay, so the chase is on. Aile lahu ituna dave grufa nura. So finally they made their way to an oven, a particularly large oven, and they basically are now going to hide out in the oven. The problem, of course, is that the oven was just heated up. So havaka mikan kare de Mar Ukva. So the feet of Mar Ukva now were burning for obvious reasons. He was standing in an oven. So amale de vasayu shkol karech usiv akarai. So the wife of Mar Ukva says to her husband, okay, so here's what you do. You'll take your feet and you'll put them on top of my feet. Meaning, so that way you'll protect your feet. The obvious question I hope everyone here is wondering is, what about her feet? So, chaloshaite. So her feet apparently were not getting burnt. Why? So she was a recipient of an ace. Kadosh Baruch Hu had it that her feet were not burning. Now Mar Ukva said, now wait one second. I know I'm on a certain spiritual plane. My wife apparently is on a much higher spiritual plane than I am. What's going on over here? He wanted to understand that a little bit better. So Amrale, so she says to him, Anashricha begave devaser umekarve ahani yasi. So she explains to him, look, I know you give a lot of tzedakah. I just happen to be better at it than you are. She's not saying it boasting or bragging. It's just the reality. The reality is that what I do is that I'm home. Someone comes knocking on the door and what do? So I don't give him money. What do I give him is food. So I give them food that's readily available. They can get hana from it immediately, right? That's the Gemara's expression, right? Mikarva ahani yaseh. Their hana they're going to be receiving is going to be immediate when I give them tzedakah. So unlike you who give them money and now they have to go around and they have to go shopping and spend the money. So I just make it easier for them. Okay, so my giving of tzedakah is better than yours. So now we're in the oven. You're wondering why your feet are burning, why my feet are not burning. Okay, so now you understand a little bit better. So umaykulehai. Now Mar Ukva made it a point in order to hide his identity to the point where they're running away from him. They're hiding in an oven, meaning that's a lot in order to hide your identity. Why is it such a value? Gemara explains. Amar zucher bar tavya amar rav amrila amar rav huna bar bizna amar rav shimon chasida va amrila amar rav yochanan mishum rav shimon bar yochai noch l'adam shim sarat smolosoch kifshan eish ve'al yabim penei chaver berabim. Better that what you should do is you should allow yourself to go into a furnace rather than publicly embarrass somebody. Meaning that once this Ani finds out, even though in this particular case, so interesting, the Ani wanted to find out who it was. Meaning it wasn't that the Ani was being embarrassed, he was actually interested in finding out who it was. But still, when all is said and done, it's going to be embarrassing. It'll be a pchas, it'll be a diminishment of his kavod, knowing now who is going to be basically feeding him every single day. And so So it's embarrassing. And so, Mar Ukva understood this. Mar Ukva's wife understood this. So it's better that they're going to go into Kivshan Ha'esh. They're going to go into a furnace rather than embarrass somebody. So Menale Metamar, and the Gemara says, where's the precedent for this? So the precedent comes from Tamar. Dechsiv Himutseis. Now, without going through the entire story, but basically, right, we've gone over this. We've covered this in the Daf many times. The Gemara happens to cite this halacha on a number of occasions. I'm thinking of the Gemara Sota Daf Yud, but it's a couple of places in Shas, more than a couple, that describes this halacha. And that is that Tamar said, basically, look, right, she was condemned to die. She was condemned to be burned, even though she could have easily identified who the father of her child was. But identifying who the father of the child was would be embarrassing to her father-in-law, because her father-in-law was the father of the child. So, and rather than call him out and publicly embarrass him, so she was prepared to be burnt. Okay, and the obvious question, with which the Rishonim ask already, is that you're supposed to give up your life rather than publicly embarrass somebody? Meaning it's not one of the big three. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that for the Gimel Chamors, for the three cardinal sins, one is supposed to give up their life. Shvichas Damim, Gilu Arayos, Avodah Zarah. So those you give up your life for, but this is not one of the things you give up your life for. So already we're shown and we're bothered by a simple question. You're really supposed to give up your life for this? Okay. So, and without getting into the answers of the question, but at least what we could say definitively in today's daf what we could say definitively in today's daf is that despite the fact that it is not what, it's a value, meaning it's clearly a value, meaning not publicly embarrassing somebody is something where you should definitely try to do and try to make an effort not to publicly embarrass somebody. Okay.
Good. Fine. That's
okay. Good. Okay. Mar Ukva have ane b'shiva vuse. Okay. More stories with Mar Ukva, but the Mar Ukva story running into the oven, probably one of the more popular stories in today's daf, and I would say in Shas. It's a pretty popular story. We continue. Mar Ukva had a poor person in his community, Dahava Ragel, Lejdura Learba Meazuze, called Mala Yuma de Kippurah. So what would he be giving as a distribution? 400 zuz for the year. He'd be giving it out on Erev Yom Kippur. So Yuma Cha Chajrino Ni Ale Biad Brei. He gives it in, he sends it with his son. So Asa Amrale Lo Tzarech. So the son comes back to the father and gives a full report. You know, that poor person that you're giving money to every year? I don't know why you think he's a poor person. He doesn't need the money. Why? Because Amar, my chazis, so Rav Huna, sorry. Mar Ukva asks his son, well, what exactly did you see that makes you think he's not in need of tzedakah money? Chazis, to come azalf elei yayin yashan. I see that he's doing Ziluf. Now, Ziluf, we've covered numerous times throughout the Gemara, and that is basically it's aromatherapy. In other words, you're sprinkling wine all around your house so that your house smells nice. Okay, and who does this kind of aromatherapy? People with money do this kind of aromatherapy. And so I'm watching this guy do it. The guy who's the recipient of tzedakah, like, it's ridiculous. So Mar Ukva comes to a conclusion that is a little bit counterintuitive. So mefanki kulehai. So aifina v'shadrinu niale. So Mar Ukva says, okay, so you know what I need to do? I need to double his staka. He needs more staka. In other words, this is the kind of life that he's living. So I didn't know that. Okay, fine. So he needs more money. So I'll give him more staka. And again, it goes back to what we discussed yesterday, and that is that When you give tzedakah, so it has to be de machzor lo. It has to be what he's used to. So, and again, remember, I mentioned this yesterday. I'll just mention it again today. And that is the tension that exists between, on one hand, if he's used to a certain lifestyle, so you got to give tzedakah based on the lifestyle that he's used to. On the other hand, he shouldn't have gone to that, used to such a lifestyle. Meaning it does put a strain on the public, on the public tzedakah. And, when he needs that kind of money, in order to pay for his expensive lifestyle. On the other hand, the pasuk says de machzoro. So what you have over here is what's called attention. So here again, you see it right here in our Gemara as well. Meaning the son can't believe that this is the kind of, that tzedakah should be paying for that. And meanwhile, Mar Ukva's conclusion is, yeah, tzedakah should be paying for that. Why? Because that's what he's used to. Now Mar Ukva, he was not dead, but he was dying. So as he was approaching his death, so Amar Isaac Le Chushban Tzedakah. So he says, "No, let me take a look at my accounts. Let's see what's going on over here." So Ashkach Daviksiv Beishiva Safi Dinare Sian K. So he got a reporting of how much tzedakah he gave. Okay, 7,000 dinarim. Okay, whatever, he gave a lot of tzedakah. So Amar Zavdai Kalila VeOrcha Rechikta. So he says that, look, my tzedal aderech, the right, my provisions for the way, it's light. Meaning, I don't think I give enough tzedakah. Right? In other words, I'm about to head off to the Olam HaEmes. What I think I need is more tzeda. I need more provisions. Basically, I need more zechuyos. I need to be giving more tzedakah. So, bizbezeh lapage mamone. So what he did is that he gave instructions that half of his estate should be giving out to tzedakah. Hopefully everyone's thinking the same thing right now. The Gemara is about to ask. Back on Daf Nun. Okay, that is about 17 days ago in the Daf. So back on Daf Nun, we learned a number of takanas that were instituted in Usha. One of them is, don't give more than 20% of your estate away. And over here, he's giving 50% of his estate away. It's a violation of takanas Usha. Gemara's answer. When you're alive, you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your estate away. But as if you're dead, so you can give instructions that more than 20% of your estate goes away. Remember, what did we learn back on Daf Nun? Why is a person not allowed to give more than 20% of his estate away? Because what's going to end up happening is that he's going to need tzedakah if he gives too much of his estate away. So therefore, the chachamim capped how much he should give. But if the instructions are to give the money away after you die, obviously, you no longer need it. You can give it away. Your kids are going to want it. Obviously, that's not a good kasha. Okay, Rabbi Ava Havatzai Zuzib Sudre. More Meisim. So over here, we turn our attention to Rabbi Abba. Okay, we're going to leave Mar Ukva. Rabbi Abba, what he would do is that he would basically have a backpack, what you and I would call a backpack, and he would have money in the backpack. V'shadilei l'achorei. And the backpack he would put on his back. Okay, for us it's very easy to envision. The backpacks nowadays are very popular. Right, I have one. So the and he would put the backpack on his back. Now he did two things. It's a little bit. We're splitting the atom over here. In other words, on one hand, when the aniyim came, so they were able to take money off from his back, literally from his back. But he wouldn't have to know who's taking the money. And again, it would be a way of maintaining the dignity of the people who are collecting. On the other hand, Matzlei Einei Meramai, he would, from the side of his eyesight, from his peripheral view, he would make sure that nobody would be coming who is not entitled to money in order to take. Okay, so, okay, again, it's splitting the atom. He was able to do so in a dignified manner for the people who deserve it. But for the people who are not entitled, he would have an eye out for them. Good. Rabbi Chanin Aveyahun Aniya Davaragulish Durle Arba Zuzukomale Shabasa. Okay, Rabbi Chanina gave out, made distributions of tzedakah, 4 zuz every week to a particular ani. So, Yumacha Chajrina Nele Biad Vesayu. So he sent the money with his wife. Now, this is the second time this morning, we are going to hear a story regarding sending the money with a family member. And the family member coming back with a full report of this person doesn't deserve it. Okay, so previously we had the son who came back with a full report. Here we have the wife. So the wife says to him, I don't understand why in the world you're giving this guy tzedakah. This guy does not deserve it. So Asay Amra Le Lo Tzarech. So she says, I don't understand. What are you doing over here? He doesn't need it. So my chazis knew. What did you see? So Shimi Dehavika Amra Le Bemata Soed. So what I overheard is the following conversation while I was there giving the tzedakah. And that is, b'tli kesef o b'tli zav. We're on the top of Samech Chesem Ad Aleph. So what are you using over here in order to dine on? Are you going to be using linen cloths or are you going to be using silk cloths? Rashi says that the linen is white, the silk is colored. Anyway, in other words, so what kind of tablecloth are we using over here? Now, he's dining on top of a tablecloth and they're deciding between linen versus silk. Like, this is ridiculous. He doesn't need tzedakah. So, Amar, Haina Damri, Rebbe Lazar. Okay, so, now previously this morning, what we heard, when the person has such refined taste is, oh, good, I'll give him more tzedakah. So over here, it's going to be a little bit confusing to us, the listener, right? Trying to make sense of the daf today. Giving tzedakah is a tough issue, right? I don't need to belabor the point. We all know. But over here, so what was his reaction, Rabbi Chanina's reaction? Oh, okay, you know what? He said to his wife, you're right. He doesn't deserve it. But you know what? There's a silver lining to this particular cloud. And that is, Haina Damar Rabbi Lazar, Bar Benachzik Tovel, Aramayim, Sheol Malehein, Haina Chotim B'chol Yom, Shenemar V'kara Alecha El Hashem V'ayabacha Chet. So thank God there are a mime out there in the world. This is a real, like, silver lining on the cloud. Meaning, okay, good, so you're right. You called him out correctly. He didn't deserve it. He's a Ramai. He's a charlatan. Okay, but good. I'm so happy they're charlatans. Why? Because what happens is that someone comes knocking on my door, and I'm not trusting that whether or not he's legit or not legit, and I'll say no to him. Now, am I allowed to say no to somebody collecting? No, I'm not allowed to say no. The pasuk in the Torah says, "V'kara alacha el Hashem v'yabacha chet." In other words, he's going to call you out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to have to answer after 120 years. Why did you say no to him? Oh, but now that the Ramayim in the world, so now at least we're legitimizing saying no. Okay, so that is the silver lining that Rabbi Hanina found in that. Okay, in other words, there's a charlatan. Good. So now at least people will be justified when they say no. Okay, so once again, so what should be our position regarding somebody comes knocking on the door? Should we say yes or should we say no? I'm happy I asked the question. Please don't look at me to give you like the absolute correct answer to this question. It's a real tension. It's a difficult question to answer. On one hand, there are people who are charlatans. On the other hand, there are people who really need tzedakah. Okay. Tini Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Midifti Rabbi Yeshua ben Kacha Avmer Kol Amal Meinav Min Tzedakah Kilo Oved Avodas Kochavim. You have an opportunity to give tzedakah and you look as if you do not see it, meaning you ignore it. So it's tantamount to idolatry. Ksiv Hachi Shamalach Pen Yebecha. I'm sorry. Pen Yedavar Im Levavcha Belial. Okay, that's Parshas Rei. We just did that. Uksiv Hasim Yatsu Anashim Bnei Belial. Okay, that's one parsha earlier. It's Parsha Shoftim. So Malahalan Avos Kochavim Afkan Avos Kochavim. Okay, it's called the Gzeira Shava. Gzeira Shava that tells us like you say no to an ani or you pretend like you don't see the ani. It's tantamount to a city worshiping Avodah Zara. Okay, in other words, it's a really serious offense. Tana Rabbanan. More on the topic of tzedakah. A little bit more before we get to the upcoming Mishnah. Hamisame say no, and Hamitzabe es bit no, v'hamikapech es shoko. So you go around looking as if you're blind. You're not blind. Or you're looking as if you're bloated. You're not bloated. Or you're looking as if you are amputated. Probably not amputated, but you're lame. You're lame in one of your limbs. So eino niftar min olam ashiavoli dekach. And the reason why you're putting on this ruse is so that you people will have sympathy towards you and won't give you money. So if you pretend like you are some sort of invalid and you're receiving money based on that pretense, Akash Baruch will take care of it. Meaning you're actually going to be being suffering from that which you pretended to be suffering from. And similarly, I'm a kabbal tzedakah ain't sarach lekach. So far I know niftar min olam ashiavoli dekach. If you go around collecting money and you were not entitled to tzedakah, so mida keneged mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that you're in fact going to need tzedakah. Tanan hasam. Okay. Okay, good. Just a little bit more to go before we get to the upcoming mission, but let me give a word of introduction. So who's entitled to tzedakah? Somebody who's poor. Okay, yishar koach. What is the threshold of poverty? So, right, they do this in this country, and halacha, in other words, you have to have a threshold. Otherwise, what are we talking about over here? So the threshold of poverty is 200 zuz. But even that is not so easy. In other words, 200 zuz, what does that mean? Meaning that you have a home. Are you now no longer in a state of poverty? Is that counted or not counted towards figuring out the poverty line, whether you're below or above the poverty line? So basically, and I'm oversimplifying, these are mishnayos and peah. We're going to see a mishnah and peah together in just a moment. So basically, the idea is that you cannot have 200 zuz liquid, meaning cash, meaning that you can have a bed and you can have you can have a house, but if you do not have 200 zuz liquid, so you are now below the poverty line and you are now entitled to collect from tzedakah. That's the basic idea. Tanan hasam. With that stated, so we're going to learn a mishnah in peah. Ein mechayv noso limkor es beisov es klei tashmishal. Aye. You know, if you sold some of your assets, so now you'd be over you'd be over the poverty line. But the Mishnah Peah says you don't need to do it. You don't need to sell assets in order to get over the poverty line. So Velova Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, that's the Mishnah Peah. Great. The problem is that I have a Braisa, and the Braisa says, Hayim Ishamish Biklizav, Ishamish Biklizav, Biklikesiv Ishamish Biklinachos. I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Hayim Ishamish Biklizav, Ishamish Biklikesiv. Meanwhile, I have a brisa. The brisa says, "Look, you have a golden cup. So what you'll do is you'll sell the golden cup, and you'll drink from a silver cup. And in other words, but don't start collecting from tzedakah if you can basically downgrade your life a little bit, and you don't have to collect from tzedakah in those circumstances. So we're a little bit confused now. Meaning the Mishnah Peah basically says that you don't have to sell off any assets in order to go above the poverty line. Meaning if you are below the poverty line in terms of cash, liquid cash available, so that's it. You don't have to sell off any assets. Meanwhile, the Brisa tells us, no, sell off your assets. Especially if all you're doing is just downgrading your life. Right? Gold cups, okay, good. Now you sell those and now you silver cups and the difference. Now you'll feed yourself. So which one is correct? So the Gemara tries to resolve. Amar Rev Zvid, lo kasha ha, b'mita v'shochan ha, b'kosta sakara. So it depends on what we're talking about in terms of selling off. Are we talking about selling off your bed versus selling off your dishes? So maishna, kosta sakara, is the lo, the amar mi'isi, li. Mita v'shochan nami, amar lo mekabli ilavai. So the Gemara says, I don't really understand the difference, meaning when it comes to your cups. Okay, so what happens is that people like the cups that they're using. And obviously you're drinking from it and whatever, you're comfortable. And so therefore the halacha does not demand that you sell your cup. The Gemara says, okay, I can say the same thing about my bed. I like my bed. And now I can get a cheaper bed and therefore I'm going to sell my bed to get a cheaper bed. In other words, I really like sleeping at night and I like being in a comfortable bed. So I don't really see the difference between cups and beds. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rava, Bered the Rava. So the Gemara's answer, the Gemara gives a couple of answers. One answer of the Gemara is that we're talking about a silver Macharesha. Now, Macharesha, it's not perfectly clear what the Gemara is making reference to over here when it talks about a Macharesha. Okay, it could be a comb. It could be like some sort of back scratcher. I'm not really sure. But anyway, but something you take to the base of Merchatz. Okay. It does it there. There really is no difference what kind of macharesha you use. So there, you could sell off one in order to get another, a cheaper one. That's one possibility. Okay, that's one answer. The second answer of the Gemara: Rav Papa Amar Lo Kasha Kan Kodem Sheavoli De Gibui Kan LaAchar Sheavoli De Gibui. Depends on whether or not we're before or after the collection. What does that mean? Rashi writes as follows. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Rashi writes, "Had the nani mechaven mi karakai kishavalitol lekev v'lo hayo lama saimzos v'im hayam ocher kli tashmisho hayam masik lama saimzos em mechaven osolim kor." Okay, so the answer of Papa basically goes like this: you're right now ready to collect from whatever social service you're collecting from. In this case, we're talking about peah. Okay, good. So you're collecting from peah. So at this point in time, now the person standing over the field saying, "Okay, new, let's go over your assets." So at that point in time, there is no need to sell off any of your assets. Meaning, if in the bank account you don't have 200 zuz, you're entitled. You can collect. Good. And that's the Mishnah Peah. That's one half of the coin. Now on the other side, v'hadad na mechayven la'achar shabali de giboy, la'achar shevi atzmoli de kach shebeis din govin heimenu. Kigon sh'ayelom asayim zuz v'nata leka shichal peah, v'no de'she ashir haya. Based on by Mekoven Amen, Mashinatal. But in other words, but the Brisa that says that you have to sell off your assets, that's talking about where you illegally collected. You were above the poverty line, and there you were collecting something that you weren't entitled to. So now what Basin's going to do is Basin's going to pay you a visit. And Basin's going to say, you had no entitlement to collect. You had 200 zuz in the bank account at the time. And now we're going to go ahead and demand a reimbursement from you. You can't pay for everything that you took. Okay, now you're going to sell off your assets. So the email look at Dela Shalim Ocher Klei Tashmisho Hayikarim Meshamshim be Pechusim. So then, the expectation is, he's going to be selling off assets. But selling off assets meaning living in a downgraded life. But the difference between the upgrade and the downgrade, that's going to use to reimburse that which he collected illegally. Okay. That's the answer of Rav Papa. The Gemara seems to be more content with Rav Papa's answer. Okay. That was a lot of discussion today regarding tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay. It's an extraordinarily important topic. You see, when you see the Gemara dedicating so much real estate to a particular topic, you see it's an important topic. On the other hand, it's a difficult topic. Who's entitled? How much is he entitled to? Right? Who do you give to? The concealing of identity in terms of the giver, right? The even better to conceal the identity of both giver and receiver, although quite frankly, we didn't see that in today's daf, but that is, that's even of a higher value. Okay. The story with Mar Ukva and his attempt to really conceal his own identity as being the giver of tzedakah to the point where he was even ready to jeopardize his own life. Okay. A lot of important stories in today's daf. A lot of values regarding the mitzvah of tzedakah. We're in Samech Chesamad Aleph. We're at the Mishnah. And we're going to go now back to the Nedunya. So the Mishnah, Yisomashi Hisi'isa Ima O Acheha Midaita. So you have a orphan who is being married off either by her mother or by her brother. Okay, this day takes us back to our Yavamos days. So let's refresh our memories. When a girl's a katana and she has a father, so the father can marry her off. Min haTorah. Except the kesef kedushin. In fact, just in yesterday's daf, we went over this point again. Father can be mekabel kesef kedushin on behalf of his daughter. She's now married. Min haTorah. Okay. So that's if there's a father. Now, if there's no father, can any of the other family members marry her off? The answer, of course, is no. Min haTorah, no. However, the Chachamim wanted the Katana to be taken care of. And so who's going to take care of her for now and for future? A husband's going to take care of her. But if she can't get married, if the father can't marry her off, so what do you do? So the Chachamim now create an institution where either her mother or her brother can marry her off. But that marriage now is a marriage mit Rabbanan, not a marriage mit Torah, but still, it's a marriage notwithstanding. So, the Mishnah over here is describing where you have the orphan, and she's being married off by either her brother or her mother. So, in either one of those circumstances, how much is the Nedunya going to be? The Kasvala b'me'o b'chamishim zuz. So, what they wrote is a nominal amount. Now, it happens to be, it hit the minimum. Right, we already learned in the previous Mishnah the minimum nedunya that you're writing for a girl when she's getting married is going to be for 50 zuz. So they did hit the minimum, or maybe they even went 100 zuz. But yecholahi mishitagdil laotzi miadan masharoy lenasin la. But what they, however, gave was significantly less than what they should have given. In other words, this was a wealthy family, and in the absence of the father, they basically they cut her out. Okay, they gave her 50 zuz, 100 zuz. Nowhere near what dad would have given. So what she can do at a later point in time when she gets older is that basically she can appeal. She's like, this is ridiculous, right? And I was a kid when I got married. They married me off. On one hand, I appreciate that, you know, they did marry me off and, right, really like my husband, but I can't believe that that's how much money they gave me as an adunya. And she can appeal. And Rabbi Huda Omer, im hisi es abas rishona, yinasin eshniya kidach shana asan, L'rishona. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if the father was alive for an older daughter who got married, and we saw how much the father gave for the older daughter, so what we're going to do is that in the absence of the father, meaning the father died between the marriage of his oldest daughter and the next one, so what you'll do is you'll just simply cut and paste, copy and paste. In other words, whatever he gave for the oldest daughter, assume that's what he would have done for the second daughter as well. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. V'chacham emorim, pamim sh'adam ani, and v'ha'ashir, oh, ashir v'ha'ani, and the chachamim say you can't do that. You can't copy and paste, right? People go through different financial stages of their life. Sometimes they have money, sometimes they don't have money, and you can't just simply assume that dad would have done the same thing here as well. Who knows? So ela shamim es nechasim nosin lo. So according to the chachamim, what you do is what's called the shuma. You do an appraisal, and with that appraisal, that's how much you're going to decide how much to give. What in the world does that mean? You do an appraisal? Stay tuned. We're going to understand that better in just a moment. Amar Shmuel. Le parnasa shamim ba'av. Okay, so the statement of Shmuel, this is not the first time in our Masechta we're hearing the statement of Shmuel. We heard it earlier in the Masechta. Okay, good. But we get to hear it again. It's what's called Chazara. Shmuel's of the position that as far as parnasa is nedunya. In this context over here, parnasa means the amount of money that the estate is going to be giving over to the daughter, so that she'll have a little bit of money to start off their marriage. So how much do you give? Shamim ba'av. So what we do is an estimation, an approximation, right? Rashi writes, Habas yisoma, shabas linase, nosin la nedunya, kifi omed shanu bikiyim ba'avia vatran o kamsan. Meaning people knew who the father was, people knew what kind of giver he was, whether he was stingy or whether he was generous. And so according to Shmuel, what we're going to do is that we'll make an appraisal, we'll make an assessment. Okay. Much easier said than done. It goes without saying, right? Trying to figure out like what he would have done had he been alive. But in other words, we have a general idea. And Shmuel says that's the kind of nedun you're going to be giving her. So Amar Shmuel Parnasa Shamim Bav Meisvei. So the Gemara says, really, really, is that right? Let's go. Let the Gemara quotes a brisa. So Habanos Nizonos Umis Parnasos Minichse Avien. So when it comes to the daughters after the father has died, and they're going to be entitled to Mizonos, and they're going to be entitled to Parnasa. So what are we going to give them? So what we're going to do is we're going to give from the estate. Now the Gemara says, okay, the brisa is not done yet. Brisa has got more. Ketzad. So Ein Omrim Ilu Avia Kaim Kachachainos In La. What we don't do is the following. Well, let's figure out what dad would have given had he been alive. We don't do that. Rather, Ela Shamim Es Nechasim Nosin La. So what we do is that we just simply see how much there is in the estate. Based on how much there is in the estate, we're going to give her a portion of the estate. Okay, again, what the portion is going to be, stay tuned. So my La Parnassus Abal. So now, in the Brisa, it says Nizonos Umis Parnassos. So Parnassa over here presumably means Nedunya. That seems to be the simplest pshat. If that's the right pshat, that's difficult for Shmuel. Shmuel says that for Parnassa, for Nedunya, what we're going to do is that we're going to do an appraisal of what dad would have given had he been alive. So I'm Rav Nach, Marius Laglob, but Parnassa Satsma. So the Gemara says, no, that Parnassa over here does not mean Nedunya. Parnassa over there means Mizonos. Gemara says, come on, that can't be the pshat in the Brisa. Nizonos, umis parnasos ketani. Go back to the Brisa, read the words of the Brisa. It says Nizonos, and it says Parnasa. So my love, achas parnasos above, achas parnasos atzma. Okay, so it seems to be the simple pshat. And again, if that's a simple pshat, difficult for Shmuel. So lo, idivida parnasos atzma velo kasha. Ha beachila uvishtia. Ha, belavusha vikisuya. Gemara says no. It could be talking about her mizonos, but a mizonos doesn't just simply mean food. It means supporting her in terms of food, and supporting her in terms of her clothing. And maybe what the pshat in the brisa is that for food and clothing, right? And that will assign to the parnasa and the mizonos, right? For food and clothing. So that what we're going to do is that we're going to just base it on what's in the estate. Aye, but in terms of the nedunya. So then we're going to go back and try to figure out what dad would have given. Okay, Tanan. So again, we are with a statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that when it comes to Parnassa, figuring out the Nedunya, dad's no longer alive. We're left with an estate. So Shmuel's position is, well, let's guesstimate what dad would have done. So now the Gemara challenges one more time. We can't basically cut and paste. What the Chachamim will tell you to do is that you have to figure out, not basically. You see what's left in the estate, and that's it. And we're not going to try to figure out, was dad generous? Don't do that. My name Ashir, e name Ani ben Achasim, and Ashir ben Achasim. So Mechlal, the Tanakam, Asafra, Shafilo Ashir Ani, Kedimikar Yavinale. So Halaisle. So now, where exactly are the Chachamim arguing with Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, is the Chachamim actually talking about person becoming poor, becoming wealthy? In other words, actual changes in their portfolio? Like, that can't be. Meaning, because consider, Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue, right? Listen to how this argument's going to sound. It's going to sound ridiculous, right? A person once upon a time had a lot of money. So when he married off his daughter, when he had a lot of money, he gave her a really solid nedunya. And then what happens is that his actual portfolio, not his attitude, his actual portfolio changed. He lost all of his money. Now, what should he do for his daughter that he marries off at that point in time? Give her the same nedunya? He doesn't have it. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to be arguing with that position? Like, that can't be. In other words, that's ridiculous. He doesn't have the money. So in other words, what's happening over here is that the debate between them is, we're not talking about a change in portfolio. We're talking about a change in attitude. In other words, sometimes people's attitudes change over their lifetime. Sometimes they're very generous. Sometimes they're very miserly. So elalav ani bedas and asher bedas. So v'ketani shamim es nechasim and nosin la. So ama lo azin baser umdana tiyufta d'shmul. So what comes out now that is according to the chachamim. Here's what we don't do. we don't try to figure out, like, where was he in terms of his generosity? Because people change. So, what we do is very simple. We figure out how much is left in the estate. And from that, we're going to assign how much to give her for Nadunya. Good. Now, all that's great. What that means now is that we don't have a support for Shmuel. The Chachamim are basically saying, don't try to figure things out. We just work with what's left in the estate. So, who damaka Rabbi Yehuda? Did not Rabbi Yehuda Amrei Misi Habas Rishona Inasin Eshnei Kedach Shanasan LeRishona. So, the Gemara in defense of Shmuel will tell you the following. I'm with you. The Chachamim are not aligned with my position. Rabbi Yehuda is, meaning I side with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, which in of itself is a little bit challenging. Meaning, generally speaking, when you have a Mishnah and you have a majority opinion against one, so generally speaking, the halacha falls like the majority position. And over here, Shmuel's telling you, no, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's a little bit strange, but that's what he's saying. V'neim halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara over here picks on the following. So why don't you just tell me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning that would be good, right? So iam halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda avamina dafki isia. So the Gemara says, if he would have just simply said that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, I might have thought incorrectly that Rabbi Yehuda says, when are we going to figure out how much he would have given? That's only if historically he gave once before, meaning he married off a daughter while he was alive. Now we know how much he would have given. And now we could say at a later point in time, oh, he was really generous then. He would have been generous now. But maybe for Rabbi Yehuda, if let's say dad never married off a daughter, and Rachmanis, he died before marrying off a daughter, so maybe under those circumstances, even Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, like in other words, you can't try to figure out what kind of guy he was, generous or not. So what Shmuel's telling us is, no, even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, you could figure it out. There's still an umdana that can be done. Then why did Rabbi Yehuda give the case where he married off a daughter? That was just to expose the Chachamim. Meaning the Chachamim are so discrediting this idea of Umdana, even if historically he did marry off a daughter, and we know how much he gave, that still will not tell us, it won't educate us on how much he would have given now. Because again, people change. And so therefore, when you're left with an estate, what do? You don't try to figure out, was he generous or was he not? You just simply work with a fraction of the estate. Rava says to Rav Chista, here's what I heard. I heard in your name that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. At which point his response is, yeah, good. All right, I was quoted correctly. I hope I'm quoted correctly more often. Good. So Umi Amar Rava Hachiva Atanya Rebbe Omer Basni Zonis Mina Achin. No. Tell us Iser Nechasim. The Amar Rava Hilchasaka Rebbe. Okay. Now we're confused because Rava tells us Allah is like Rebbe. What does Rebbe say? 10%. In other words, when the daughter gets married, 10% of the estate is going to go to the daughter. And on top of that, he says that Allah is like Rebbe. Meaning Rava says Allah is like Rebbe. So Lokasha. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you, it's not a kasha. Meaning, if people knew dad, right? He was around, he was in town, everybody knew him, and they knew what kind of guy he was, umdana. But let's say we didn't know dad. In other words, he was just simply, there was no dad in the picture. Obviously, he was there for conception, but after that, he left. Good. So under those circumstances, so now that we don't know what kind of guy dad was, and now she's getting married, so what do? So there's no father and there's no personality that we know. So then what we're going to do is 10%. So hachinam mistar b'dam rav adar b'ava ma'isav nasan la rebi echem mishneim asar b'nechasim kashi adadei. Meanwhile, what happened was that Rebbe did an appraisal once and gave a 12th of the estate. Now, a 12th of the estate, I don't understand. The same Rebbe told us to give 10%, and then he gave 1 over 12. Well, by the way, that's less. So elalav shmamina, had amdene, had lo amdene shmamina. So the Gemara says, look, if we know the personality type, so then you base it on the personality type. But if you don't know the personality type, then 10% is a flat rate. Gufa amar Rebbe, basni zonas minachin. No, tell us he's in the chasim. Amar lo le Rebbe. Now, the counter argument to Rebbe's position of 10%, it's really simple. Lidvarecha, mishesh lo eser banos vibein. Let's say that the father, before he died, had 10 daughters and he had one son. Now what? So now you're going to give 10% over to every one of the daughters. So each one is receiving 10%. How much now is the son receiving as the Yerusha? Zero. Okay, that's a problem. So ein lo leben b'makom banos klum. So amalem kachani omer. Rishonon tells you, sunachasim, shnia b'mashashaira, shlishis b'mashashaira. And then chozos v'chokos b'shaveh. So Rebbe says, okay, so let me teach you a little bit of math. Okay, so in other words, you got the math wrong. In other words, I'm not saying 10% of the original. Each one of them is not receiving 10% of the original. Each one is receiving 10% of the remainder. Okay. So in other words, one daughter is going to be getting 10%, 10. Let's say, right, just, I'm dealing with silly, with simple numbers. If let's say the estate is 100, first daughter will get 10. Okay, that takes off now. We're down to 90. Second daughter is going to get 9, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so kolcha v'chada d'nafsha shakla. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, but isn't each one of them going to be taking 10, assuming that they're number one? So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar, imbao kulam, linasika achas, chokos b'shava, chokos b'shava. So the Gemara says, no. If, let's say, for example, each one now is demanding it simultaneously, right? So in other words, I have an estate, I have 10 daughters. Each one of them now is there, and each one of them is demanding an adunya. So here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is that we'll get a, you don't need a high level mathematician. You just basically, what you do is you figure, okay, so what's 10%? What's 10% of the remainder? What's 10% of the remainder? Let's do that 10 times. Now we know what the pool is in terms of how much we're giving as Nadunya. And then from that pool, an equitable distribution to all the, to all 10 girls. Okay. Granted, by the end of the day, I didn't do the math, by the way. I didn't crunch the numbers. I didn't figure out how much is going to be left for the son. There will be obviously something left for the son. How much? 35%. Okay, good. We have accountants here. So the, so there will be left for the son. So the, but meanwhile, so the, okay, good. So that's the, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. And let's just finish up today with this. Mesayil le Rav Masa, Dama Rav Masa, imbali nasi kulam ka'achas, not los iser echad, iser echad, sakadatcha, elanot los iser ke'echad. Okay, and basically, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Masna exactly this, this computation. In that if all girls are coming to collect at the same time, so again, what we'll do is that we'll figure out how exactly it would be where each one is taking 10% of the remainder. So again, now, right, I'll work with the number of 65%. Now 65% are going to the daughters. Good. Now 65% of the going to the daughters, there are 10 daughters. Each one of them is going to get, here we go. I'm ready for higher math today. 6.5% of the estate. Okay, good. Mazel tov. And that's how it'll work out. But in other words, using this computation, the son is not going to be taken out of the Yerusha. The son will be still be getting a good amount of the Yerusha. Okay, well, we'll pause over here. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, this is a good place to pause. Let's quickly recap. Right, easy daf to recap today. So, good part of today's daf, Samach Zayin and Amid Beis, Samach Chesem and Aleph. So that all is stucca. Okay, attitudes during towards stucca. The stories regarding stucca. Okay, lot of stucca talk in today's daf. And then as we get to the next Mishnah, so now you have a girl who Rachmanis does not have a father, and she's looking for a nedunya. So the father is going to provide for her the estate is going to provide for her nedunya. What can she do at a later point in time? She can appeal. She feels that she got shortchanged, so she can appeal. We'll talk more about the appeal process in tomorrow's daf. And then Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says that when it comes to a nedunya by the estate, so Shmuel says that what we're going to do is that we're going to try to figure out the kind of father he was. Was he generous? Was he miserly? And we're going to give based on what the attitude of the father was. That was Shmuel's comment, but Parnassa. So we make an umdana. So the question is that a supportable position? And the answer is no. It's complicated. It's not so supportable. The Chachamim clearly disagree. The Gemara says yeah, but he follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe Rabbi follows that position as well. Actually, by the end of today's daf, we said that yeah, Rabbi follows that position as well. Meaning because we know that Rabbi says you give 10% as a flat rate, but then Rabbi at one point in time gave 1/12, right? Obviously less than 10%. So what happened? What happened was is that if I don't know dad's personality, and so then it's a flat rate of 10%. But if you know dad's personality, so you're going to be basing the nedunya based on the personality of the father. So it happens to be that even Rebbe ended up following this position of making an umdana.